Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Pastor Cuz. Love you, everybody. Thank you. Why don't you reach your hands, everybody? Can you reach out to God? Such a good day. So much fun. Go the dads. Thank you, God, for every dad. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing. Thank you that we won tug of war this morning, that we weren't embarrassed by the teenagers whom we love but must lead. And we thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that you're moving. You're good. You're able. You're faithful. Lord, our soul is full of joy. God, and that joy is our strength. Thank you, Lord. We're not walking in weakness. We are walking in strength because we have a joy that comes from God. We have joy that comes from heaven. We have a climate that is not of this world that fills our lungs, fills our mind, fills our soul, and it's the climate of heaven. It's joyful. It's joyful. It is joyful. It is joyful. It is not morose, dark, deep, overly deep. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for depth. But we thank you, God, for fun and life. Health. Lord, health to our bones is your word. Health to our bones is worship. Health to our very bones is praise. Health to our bones is when we gather to the church. It is health for our soul to look to God. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for conference, God. I got to tell you, everybody, God is up to something. God, I am so excited about what God is up to. I'm scared as well, but I'm excited. 4 weeks till conference, 2 weeks to the grand opening of our new kids facility. God is up to something. Thank you, Lord, you are moving in Sydney. You are priming this city for your glory to be revealed. It is unprecedented what God wants to do in this city. It is unprecedented what God wants to do in the church in this hour. It is unprecedented. It is not up to what it's been. It's unprecedented. It's beyond measure. So God, we thank you. 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 Thank you that we're here together. Thank you that we're standing, following, walking. So speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Deliver us from evil. Lead us into the paths of righteousness. Cover, protect. Bring freedom, healing to every life here today, online and in the room. In Jesus' name. They all said, amen. Why don't you hug someone, high five someone, whatever's appropriate. Holy kiss. If you're a guest today, welcome. Worship team, you may go. Jesse and Eloise having a baby. So exciting. Keep that shirt tucked in, Jesse. Look amazing. Don't you love Dan and Kaylee Karotz, everybody? We're just so thankful for them. Incredible location, pastors. And, you know, I was sitting next to my brother Leon, who just, you know, Leon, the guy that was just talking before, catching his breath, yeah, and preaching the gospel. Man, he's on fire. I love that guy. Well, we were sitting next to each other, and I remember that our dads went to school together. And Leon is like a brother to me. And he was telling me, he was kind of tearing up. Actually, he had tears in his eyes as he was telling me that this day, 25 years ago, he got saved on Father's Day. Can we just thank God for that? Come on, everybody. Isn't that beautiful? On Father's Day. And I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to play Fred at ping pong because apparently he's really good at ping pong. Go Fred. He's got long reach. And so, but my last name's Lee, so bring it on. Why are you laughing? Okay, so you know, on Father's Day, I'm thankful for my dad. And one of the things I'm so thankful for my dad is, you know, like he is a man of routine. Any people that love a good routine, a few people, yeah. And my dad's a routine guy, and he wakes up for the last forever. Wakes up every morning, has Weet-Bix. Hello. Then he has not Vegemite, Marmite. Disgusting. Yeah. It's the right reaction. Then he gets out his one-year Bible that makes Katie's Trash Your Bible look like a Bible that's perfect. Well, they are. You get them new, but then you trash them later. Shut up. So Dad's Bible, it is about 100 years old. He has had the same one-year Bible like for as long as I can remember, reads it every day. But do you know what? That has set a platform for our family. That has been the platform for my life to follow God, to walk into the call of God. And it wasn't this big, wow, look what my dad, it's that he's just followed Jesus every single day, just little by little by little. Weet-Bix, Marmite, Bible. Weet-Bix, Marmite, Bible. Every day. I think of Pastor Phil just praying at 5:30 every single day. That's the foundation. That's the game changer. So at every dad, don't overcomplicate it. Just do the little things and build an atmosphere and an environment where God is first and watch what can happen in your children. I am the proof of it. And I was thinking about Jesus because Jesus walked the earth and he had an incredible relationship with his Father. You know this, he walked the earth. He was God, but he was submitted to God. God submitted himself to God. And Jesus came under the covering of his Father's authority. And this is what godly authority is. Godly authority is never designed to be a ceiling. It is designed to be a covering. And Jesus came under the covering of his heavenly Father. And he walked under that covering. He was led by that covering. And I want to unpack what that looks like in John 5, 19 to 20. Now, look, if you're a guest today, huge welcome. We've got a big Bible on the screen for you. If you're not a guest, if you call this place home, I want you to get out your Bible, okay? Grab your Bible. Let's read the Bible together. Take notes. Just grab one thing today that you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about. And let's lean into the Word together. Take ownership of the Word of God. Amen. Are you there? Amen? Okay. John 5, 19 to 20. It says, so Jesus said to them, have you got your Bible? Did I give you enough time? Or was I too quick? I asked you to do something, then I gave you no time to do it. Are you ready? Are you good? Are you using a digital device or a paperback, leather bound? I love it. Smells of rich mahogany. Love it. That's a really old movie, isn't it? It's like way out of date. Anyway, shut up. So Jesus said to them, John 5, 19 to 20, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. What? But only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and it's so good that Jesus is telling everyone how much his Father loves him. Don't you love that? I love that. I love that confidence. God didn't have to say, Jesus told everyone, my Father loves me. Turn to someone next to you and say, God loves me. God loves me. Some people didn't. Not everyone did it. That's all right. God loves, God, you should have that in your heart. God loves me.
Everybody, God loves me so much. And I'm not saying that because he loves me more than you. I'm just saying I know that God loves me so much. And so I want to live a life where I'm smiling at the future because I know God loves me so much. Even in my trials, I'm smiling at the future because I know God loves me so much. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him so that you may marvel. Isn't it amazing that Jesus did only what he saw his Father doing on earth as it is in heaven? Jesus could see what the Father was doing in heaven and then he would interpret that into the earth. Everything that Jesus did was an echo, was a reflection of the climate of heaven. He walked the earth with healing. He walked the earth with power because that is what the Father walks in. Whatever the Father does, he does likewise. He copied his Father. He followed the example of his Father. And what really stands out to me of all this scripture, what really stands out to me is that the Son, he said, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. That's amazing. Jesus never sought independence from his Father. Now, a healthy child grows and they need to become independent. They need to have a level of separation so they can come back and connect relationally. There is a leave and cleave that must happen. Jesus was not codependent. He was not independent meaning I don't need any authority. I don't need to be under anything. Codependent meaning I can't do anything without, I am insecure and unable to do anything on my own. He was neither. He was interdependent. He submitted himself to the Father. Jesus chose to submit his life to the Father. And he was not in competition with his Father, which, by the way, sons and fathers should never be in competition. Generations should never be in competition. Fathers, amen, we just did it before. Amen, amen. I'm a hypocrite, amen. We sons should honor their fathers and fathers should bless their sons. The generation that is rising should honor the generation that is established. But they are not to compete. They are not to be threatened by each other. They are to champion one another and play the different role that they have to play in connection to one another. So Jesus was not trying to get away from his Heavenly Father. Let me have my shot, Dad. Let me do my own thing, Dad. But he was coming under the authority of his Father. Jesus walked the earth under this authority. John 14, 10, he said this, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? We are one. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." Look at Matthew 28, 18. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given." He didn't take it. It was given. Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking at Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's not seated on the throne of God. He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. God the Father is on the throne. Jesus is to the right. He has submitted himself eternally to the authority of his Heavenly Father. Because the Son does nothing of his own accord. Jesus did nothing of his own accord. Look at when he's about to die. Luke 22, 42, he says, "Father, Luke 22, 42, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And this is such an important moment because this really is what true surrender looks like. Like, it is easy to submit to our Heavenly Father's authority when you like it. It's easy to do God's will when it aligns with your will. How's everyone doing? You doing okay? That's easy. But what do you do when God's will is against your will? That's the true sign that you are submitted to His authority. When I am able to lay down my will for His will. I remember, you've heard this story before. If you've been around in church, I've told this story probably a million times, so I'm telling it again, I don't care. So I grew up, it's like I grew up in youth, became youth pastor the next day, all hell broke loose, lost all my, it was great, it was such an exciting time. I lost all my friends and all this stuff happened and at the time, and a leader, they went with a connect group leader who was leaving, and they said, we're going, if he goes, we go. And I wanted to go too. I wanted to go. These are my friends that I grew up with. They literally lived two streets away from me. Like, their parents were my parents. You know, like, I ate their food, they ate our food. We were so close. We did everything together. And then all this happens, and it was not like we're leaving. It was like we're leaving and we're gonna come after you. If you, like, they were, I don't mean anything like physical, calm down. I just, like, they were angry at me, so angry. And I wanted to go. But there was something on the inside of me that knew I was called to be here. I knew that God was calling me to stay, even though I wanted to go. And you know, in that time of my life, I became a dead man walking. I died to myself so deep. It just cut me down to the place where I was actually surrendered. I thought I was surrendered. I really did. I was tithing, worshiping, you know, big hands in worship, you know. I was really worshiping. Like, I just thought, I'm so surrendered, God. You're worthy, worthy. I am so surrendered. And then this happens. And I actually had to go against what I wanted according to His will. And I'm so thankful to God that I did. I am so thankful to God that I chose God's will over my will. And this is the true sign that we have come under the covering of God's authority. When I lay down what I want and I lay down my preference and I lay down my opinion and I lay it all down, and I say, God, your will be done, not mine. Even though I want that, I am letting it go because I trust you and your will more than mine. The Son does nothing of His own accord. And here's the truth, everybody. It's not if you're under something. It's actually not if. It's just what. Every single human is under something. We are all under something. And like this great prophet says, this incredible prophet, Bob Dylan, he's a prophet. He said this in his song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. He said it like this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. You may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. It is not a matter of if, it is a matter of who. Jesus did nothing of his own accord. When we come under the authority of the Father, what we must recognize is who he is. When we come under his authority, we must recognize who God is. And I love what happened when Abraham, Genesis 17, 1-8 in the NIV. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. Abram said, thanks, bro. Abram was like, Anya, God, you're awesome. Abram was like, ah, legend. Love that word. What does it say? Abram fell face down. You know, when people encountered God in the Bible, they weren't like broing down with him, you know what I mean? Like they weren't like, yo, Knuckles, you know? When people encountered God, they fell to their face. God is nice, sure, but he is God Almighty. Not to be trifled with, not to be messed with. He is Almighty God. He is El Shaddai. He is omnipotent. And wherever we have reduced God to just a pal, we have lost our reverence for who he really is. Job 40 verse 2, God said this, he said, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He said, Job, shall a sinner put me on trial? God is not on trial, everybody. God the Father is not the one on trial. He has all authority. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the master planner. In other words, he's God, you're not. And he's almighty. He's almighty God. Like Paul said in Romans, shall what is molded say to its molder? Why have you made me thus? Has the potter no right over the clay to do with it as he pleases? Romans 9. He is the author. And there is no level playing field between God and his enemies. Like God and the devil, it's not like Rocky, the movie, like Jesus and Satan are in a ring and they're throwing blows and Jesus is on the ground and everyone's saying, get up, and he gets up seven times and then wins just at the last minute. This is not what we are talking about. This is not the cosmic reality of God. God, the devil is a bug, like a little bug that has no authority. He's there, but he has no authority. He is under the authority of God the Father. He is not contending with the Father's authority. He is way down low. He is way under. He is under our feet. And so we must be clear that even the demons know who Jesus is. Matthew 8:29, a demon said to Jesus, they, legion, cried, what have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? They knew their future. The demons know who Jesus is. Even the demons have reverence for God. God is not in some battle that he's out of control of. He is the head. He is above. And the greatest horror in life is not to be the enemy of the devil. The greatest danger in life is not to be the enemy of the devil. you shouldn't fear him. But you should fear God. It is a far worse situation to have God as your enemy than it is to have Satan as your enemy. So to submit our lives to the authority of God is the only response to come under El Shaddai, to submit. And the amazing thing is when you submit your life like Jesus did to the Heavenly Father, do you know what you discover? You discover that God Almighty, though we fear him in a healthy way, God Almighty, who has all power, when you submit, when you come under his authority, do you know what you discover? You discover that God Almighty is now my refuge. God Almighty is now my defense. God Almighty is my shelter. Psalm 91, 1 to 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When God Almighty is your refuge, it means the all-powerful God is whom you have come under. It means you need not fear anything because El Shaddai is your covering. The Son does nothing of his own accord because God is his refuge. And you know, when God's your refuge, it produces courage. You know that guy in the Bible called David? You know him? If you don't know him, David, shepherd boy, worshiper, king, made a lot of mistakes, messed up real bad, but was a worshiper in his youth. Come on, all the youth. It was kind of youthy, but I was expecting more. But that's okay. David, you know that time where David turned up to the war with Goliath, the Philistines? You know that time? And he walks up and his brothers and all the Israelite army, they are fighting Goliath and Goliath is shouting down at them. And David walks up and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking down to the living God? The armies of the living God. David looked at the situation, the same situation, but he saw it very differently. He saw it very differently to the Israelite army. And here's why I believe this is why. Because the Israelite army, I feel like if I was there, I feel like they would have been doing this. They would have been looking at themselves and then looking at Goliath. Going, wow, he is so big. He's 8 foot plus. He has teeth like a shark. He is holding a spear that is the size of a something really big. I don't know. And he is intimidating. And so they would look at Goliath and then look at themselves. And then look at Goliath and then look at themselves and go, we will lose. This is over. But then David, little teenager shepherd boy. Come on, the youth. Yeah. Like a little teenager David, shepherd boy, rocks up to the same situation where all these grown warrior men are scared in their boots of Goliath. And he walks up to the same situation and has a very different reaction. And I reckon it was because of this. It's not in the scripture. Yes, I am imagining this. But I have a conviction that he must have had a perspective that they didn't have, that worshiping by himself had taught him. He had learned how to look to God. And so I think David walked up and he looked at Goliath, went, ugly, And then he looked at God. And then he looked at Goliath. He thought, poor sucker. And then he looked at God. Said, hello, El Shaddai. Hello, Jehovah Nisi. And then he looked back at Goliath. And he thought, if God Almighty is with us, and this giant is all on his lonesome. We are going to kill this sucker. We're going to chop his head off. Look how David talks. He is ruthless. I love it. I love how ruthless he is. He's not even a poly. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give your carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Yeah, I like it. I love this. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David knew he was in a refuge. David knew he had a covering. And so he wasn't scared. He wasn't intimidated. Like James says, submit to God. Worship team, join me. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Devil's not scared of you. Scared of God. But if God is with you, and if you are with God, if you are under his covering, he is frightened. He is dead scared of you, church. He is dead scared of us. Is anyone like the Lion King? You like the Lion King? Yeah, of course. I love the Lion King. You know that scene in the Lion King where Simba and Nala, they go to the elephant graveyard? You know that scene? And they're like, oh, they're having a blast, and then the hyenas are chasing them and they get cornered at the end. And Simba turns around and he goes to roar at the hyenas. And he goes, rawr! He goes, rawr! 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 Do you like that? And the hyenas are chuckling. They're like, and then he puffs himself up to have one more go. And as he goes to roar, Mufasa turns up. You know Mufasa? Say it again. You know Mufasa? Mufasa turns up. And as he goes to roar, Mufasa roars. And the sound that is coming from Mufasa is the same. It drowns out his little wimpy Simba voice and is overpowered by Mufasa's voice. And the hyenas are out of there. They are gone. This is what it's like, church, when you come under the covering of God. It is not your roar. It is not your power. It is God's power with you that calls darkness and demons and generational curses and cancer and sickness and things that have had you stuck way too long. Things that you've been trying to fight on your own. You need El Shaddai, which means you got to come under. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to fight the battle by yourself. Stop trying to puff yourself up. Come under and let the authority of God do its work. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you want to know more about Jesus, about our church, or if you're in Sydney and would like to plan a visit, head to our website, c3syd.church, and find a C3SYD location near you. You can also follow us on Instagram at c3.syd, subscribe to our messages on YouTube, and listen to our podcast too. See you soon.